In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? You look stunning.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. So do you. You always do. My God, you look, I don't even know how old you are. You look about 30.
I'm 57.
No, you're not.
Well, Zoom, you know, it fixes everything. We love Zoom. Every time someone sends me a Google link for a meeting, I'm like, oh, no. It's got to be Zoom.
Got to be.
But you too. You're in your 50s, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, you're 55 in June. Yeah.
Wow, you look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Filter friendly as well.
I was like, yes. Zoom. I want to do a whole expose on it because I actually think psychologically it's not healthy for us to be staring at ourselves all day. And right? I think without Zoom filter, there would be people like, you know, they've already said that plastic surgery has gone up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and I can see you if we're like zooming all day and we think, this is what I look like.
Exactly. And then you look in the mirror and you're like, ah! And then you take a screenshot, you go to your doctor, you say, make me look like that.
Oh my God. I love it. Well, I am so
podcast right here.
Perfect. So can you hear me okay on this microphone? I want to make sure that
I can. How about mine? Do I sound like I'm yelling at you?
No.
Okay. Because when I record on this mic, it comes out like I'm yelling. I don't know why. I can't figure it out.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So sometimes this mic, though, I accidentally switch it off. So tell me if you can tell a difference. Like, hello? Hello?
No.
There's no difference at
no
all?
No difference at all.
Okay. Well, we're going to hope that that is the right way. Let me grab my glasses really quick. This is how bad this is. This is not my microphone. It's my guy's. So I really still am just figuring out how to use it here.
Well, it looks good. It looks very professional. So.
Okay. Good. So how was your birthday really quickly?
You know, I went to a hot springs with a girlfriend and I spent a lot of time as I wanted to by myself out in this one tub that was way out in this field, a mile out, just sitting there right next to this geyser every 45 minutes that would go off. And they had built, it was a little surreal, Stephanie, they had built this thing around the geyser, this out of black rock. So it looked like this giant black phallus. And then every 45 minutes, it would start spewing white liquid.
Wow.
Was this intentional? Everybody says the same thing, that it really looks like a, you know, black phallus. But the water from that goes into a trough and that's what you warm the tub with. So you're literally soaking in geyser water.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And I was alone. Nobody was ever in the tub. Other than when my girlfriend came with me, it was always empty. So I was out there in this field. So the day of my birthday, I was probably in that tub 5 hours by myself. It was raining and I was just watching the rain.
Oh my God.
I know that's not how some people want to spend their birthday, but it was.
Yeah. It sounds beautiful. It sounds absolutely perfect. Yeah. I love it. Good for you. Are you back in the States now?
Yeah, we're back home. This is my home office.
Fun. Love it. Okay. Well, so we'll jump on this. I was going to pull up really quick all your credentials so that I'm introducing you in the correct.
And Stephanie, my name is Kari, which rhymes with sorry.
Uh-huh.
Like the Indian sorry. And I only say that to you because half the time I start interviews, even with close friends, they start calling me Dr. Kari.
Kari.
I'm like, my really good friend, I was doing an interview on my group, my really good friend, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, Dr. Kari. And I was like,
not who I am.
Well, anyway, we should get you also to come onto my Facebook group to do
a promotion
for the thing. So yeah, let's get that set up.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That reminds me that I'm going to get us back on here. I don't know what is going on with my computer. One second. Just a sec here. Come on. Okay, here we are. I think also Natalie and I just did last week this little short, like 6 minutes.
Great.
Then we are posting everywhere.
Okay, great. Yeah.
We should. So maybe we can do that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
As well. Kari, I can't find it. Forgive me. How would you like me to introduce you?
So say that I'm Dr. Kari Schaefer. I'm a doctor of holistic medicine. Mm-hmm. And that I have created a platform for perimenopausal menopausal women called the Wise Woman Emerging. I'm an author.
I literally always have this ahead of time, and I just worked up until like a moment before we got on here.
Do you want me to quickly send it to you? Would that be easier?
Yes,
because I have it right here because I just sent it to somebody. Perfect. So you know what, I'll just pop it in the chat.
Yes, even better.
That'll be right there. I just literally sent it to somebody, so I just stuck it on this computer. And you are welcome to paraphrase, do whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
That's great. Great. And I'm going to flip this around so next Wednesday it'll be on.
Okay.
So that we'll have a pretty quick turnaround.
Here. Oh, great. Yeah. And so if you can get that information to me so that I can, what's happening here, people? So that I can then post about it and get people to watch your podcast, right?
Awesome. Yeah. And then when we, that'd be wonderful. I'll give you right when we get done.
Yeah.
We'll do, I'll send you the live streaming links.
Okay. That'd be great.
So, okay. Then we'll go on quote unquote live.
Are you seeing it? Oh, great. Yeah. Are you seeing
it? I'm
putting it in and then it's not letting me submit it.
Okay, let me send you something and see if.
I'll put it to you, direct message, and I go to return. Hello, Kari. Hello. So now let's go pay command. Is there a limit on how many words it can be?
Maybe.
Okay, well, let's try something smaller.
Okay.
And then I can do it in copy, paste. What are you doing, people here? Yeah, so it's showing up.
There. Perfect. This could not be better. It's exactly where I need it to be.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Great.
Okay. Then we'll chat really briefly. We'll get you off here on time because I know you've got a noon class, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just take a drink of water. We'll do 3, 2, 1.
Good idea.
Okay, filters ready.
We're good. Good to go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. I have such a special show tonight. I'm here with the wonderful Dr. Kari Schaefer. She is the founder of Wise Women Emerging. This is a platform midwifing women through the menopausal change. Her vision is to restore women with the empowerment of this life change lost in our current culture and help them find the ultimate optimal mental, spiritual, and physical balance she knows is possible. So Dr. Kari's vision was born out of her own health journey and experience overcoming extreme fatigue, constant pain, and depression. So she brings over 22 years of experience as a healthcare provider, educator, and lecturer, as well as knowledge as a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. So creator of Body Stress Analysis and author of best-selling books, I'm so excited to have with me Dr. Kari Schaefer. Welcome, Kari.
Hi, Stephanie. So happy to be here. Yeah.
It's really awesome to have you here.
Yeah.
So, Kari, I want to hear about this journey of yours. You know, this because I always think that when we go through our own personal journeys, mm-hmm. whether it's health issues or depression, anxiety, that actually then becomes the fodder oftentimes that then helps us to ignite an incredible life that we're giving back. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
So my first health challenge started when I was 17. I developed really fairly severe digestive disturbances. And at the time I was told I had something called irritable bowel and I just had to live with it, which by ladies, if any doctors ever give you that diagnosis, you do not have to live with it. And that sort of set the foundation because what I actually had was something called SIBO, but I don't even think they knew what SIBO was back then because we're, you know, we're going back some years now. And what that did was I stopped absorbing the food that I was eating and I developed something called leaky gut. And so my overall health status really declined. And then I got Lyme's disease and like I could go through a whole host and that's really not the big point. But by 32, I had a health crash. I could walk 3 blocks before I had to rest. I felt like every day I woke up feeling like I had the flu. I would lie in bed and count the hours till I could get back in bed. I just literally was pushing myself through. And at that point, I had just graduated medical school. So I was now a practitioner and I was looking at the tools that I was given, but they weren't working for me. And so I really started this journey of like, what was in the way of me getting better? By the time I was in my 40s, I was doing a lot better. And so at 47, when one of my healthcare providers said to me, hey, look, why don't you come to one of these detox camps that I'm teaching? I call them detox camps, but that I'm teaching at these detox center. I was like, well, I don't usually like drastic things, but I thought, well, you know what? My clients are always asking me about these things. You know, the things where you're doing wheatgrass everywhere and you're not eating very much food and you're exercising and all this. And I finally had gained enough weight where I was like, okay, I can lose a few pounds without losing too much. Cause classically I was really underweight cause I wasn't absorbing my food. Right. And so, I went to that and about 5 days in, I just started going down. And by the time I left there, I got on the airplane and I had my first almost like panic attack. And after that, I developed a claustrophobia, a fear of flying. I've flown my whole life, but anything to do with small spaces, I couldn't go into bathrooms at gas stations because they usually don't have windows and those heavy doors would lock and it would create this panic. I couldn't go into elevators. I couldn't get into the backseat of a car. It was really severe. And I was like, what is going on? And I didn't understand because I never, throughout all my sickness, I never had anxiety was never part of my picture. Depression more, but never anxiety. I never had anything, a claustrophobia like this. I just didn't understand what was going on. Then one of my clients came in. Now, look it, I'm a doctor and I've been practicing for a long time. One of my clients came in and she says, Kari, I've been having this claustrophobia thing and I can't get into the back of cars and elevators are freaking me out. And I was like, really? I'm going, this sounds familiar. And she goes, yeah, I looked it up online and apparently this could be a symptom of perimenopause. And I was like, what? And so I said, wait a second, I need to know what was going on because my cycle was still regular. So I thought I wasn't in perimenopause. It was a total miseducation because perimenopause, the transition starts in our 40s at some point, depending on where you are. And some women don't notice anything. They don't notice any changes. It's just the body's going through some changes. But for other women, the changes can be quite drastic. So if you're a woman in, not the changes, but the symptoms, if you're a woman that's in your 40s and you're starting to notice things changing, your hair, your skin, your moods, you know, things like that, that can be partially due to perimenopause. And so I went into the rabbit hole and what I found was shocking. What I found was you know, the education I'd been given was really limited to what women were actually experiencing. And, you know, the cycle being the thing that the key thing going off for being in perimenopause is completely not true. My cycle didn't go off until I was 52. Right. And then at 54, I stopped bleeding. But up until then, I was regular 28 days, boom, boom, boom. So you can't use that as an example of being in this change. And what happened for me was I started going to lots of, you know, lectures specifically on the topic of hormones during this time. And I heard these speakers stand up in front of groups of other doctors and say that, you know, biologically women are done post childbearing years. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then it just kind of got worse and worse. And I really realized we had a big problem, Stephanie. There was not a lot of support for women out there during this time. And what the support that was out there was just almost dismissive of what a woman was going through. Like, oh, it's perimenopause. So, you know, you just kind of have to suffer. None of that is true. And so I really came to understand what was going on for a woman during this time, why it could get bumpy, what women don't want to be doing during this time, what they want to be doing. And that was what motivated me to start this platform for women, because it's shocking how little or misinformation there is out there. I literally had a male doctor say to me, a holistic doctor, well, I can understand why the lecturer, when she said that about women being biologically having no purpose after the fertility years. You know, some species, the women die after giving birth. And I was like, what are you, what? Yeah, some species eat their mate after giving birth, but that we're humans. This is not applying to us. And the truth is, Stephanie, that there's women really have three phases of big hormonal phases of their life. Men only have two. And that's completely lost. Men don't, they go through where their hormones decline, but they don't change the dominant form of hormone in their body like we do. So nature didn't make a mistake, right? There's a reason for this. And so it's really, really important to me that women understand this, because as they go through this transition, so many things about them change and it feels disorienting, but it's not a mistake. It's actually divinely devised. And so we have our child years, our fertility years, and then what I call our wise woman years. Because if you look tribally, if you want to talk, you know, biologically, anthropologically, women's role shifted. They were the midwives and they were the herbalists. And, you know, in some cultures, they were the leaders of the tribe. But your role shifts from the person to bring forth life to the person who helps ensure the survival of the tribe in general, right? So it's a big, I know that was a lot. I said a lot there, but that's really my journey. It came out of this, you know, and I think my experience was dramatic, although I certainly work with women who have dramatic experiences because of my long health journey. So no, I don't want women to get scared. Not every woman's going to have these problems. Like I said, my mom had no symptoms. She just stopped bleeding one day and she didn't notice anything. So that is also possible. And that's the way it should be. I don't like the word should, but that's the way that it is natural for the body. But when our body's under a lot of stress, that interferes with that natural flow.
Well, I'm so glad you're talking about this, because I think you and I have spoken before. I, for one, did not get the menopausal talk. You know, we as young girls, you know, we hear about having our periods and what that's going to be like. We hear about what it's going to be like having babies. And no one spoke to me about what happens when you're perimenopausal or menopausal. And at a young age, you know, at 44 years old, I was thrown into menopause having an emergency hysterectomy.
Right.
So I really get it. How essential this is. And as women to know, like, yeah, I'm not going crazy.
No.
There's nothing wrong with me. Right. And even to know that our cycles change during that time. Like, I had no idea. I'm like, because I had already started perimenopause. And so I was like, Why am I bleeding for 2 weeks? You know, I mean, those kind of things that we have no idea.
Yeah. So, and again, I do want to say that that is common, but not typical. So in other words, we're not supposed to get like heavy bleeding and all, but that's a sign that there's something stressing our system out that's causing the imbalance. So I certainly don't want women to feel like, oh, I have these terrible symptoms, I just have to live with them. No. Oh, I'm having these terrible experience. Oh, I need to find out what's going on and what's throwing my body off. Because what happens is it's a vicious cycle. We're moving from, so you went very abruptly from estradiol dominant to supposed to be estrone dominant, but your body had no chance to figure out that that's what it was supposed to be doing because it was an emergency and happened, you know, suddenly with surgery. So that's going to be bumpy, right? Because the body stops making estradiol in the ovaries and then starts making it in our fat. And our adrenals play a big part of that. And so if our adrenals are stressed out, which certainly emergency surgery is a stress-filled event, right? Then the adrenals are like, I could care less about your hormones. I'm busy keeping you alive here, people, right? And so that goes down on the totem pole of priority. And that's when it gets bumpy. It's when there's things stressing out the physiology of the body that are causing the adrenals to pick and choose what it's focusing on. And the hormones and immune system go down the priority list when the body's in a fight or flight response. Right. And again, emergency surgery certainly puts the body in a fight or flight response. Right. And so it's getting the body to where it's calmed down. And then the adrenals can get rebuilt enough to where they feel abundant enough where they're now doing all the tasks that they regulate, which one is making androstenedione, which gets made into estrogen in our fat. And it's one of the reasons why women start to gain weight. Because if you're not able to make enough estrone, the body will start making fat to make more sites available for more estrone, particularly in the belly, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the things that's, and I say that because the weight gain is such a pain point for so many women. I was on a hike yesterday and these four women came down and I said that those are all, you know, perimenopausal, menopausal women that you can just tell when it's not balanced, the body just changes in a certain way. And it doesn't have to be that way if you get your system balanced out and you learn how to eat for your body now. And because a lot changes, we don't need as many calories as we used to need. A lot of things change for us. So, yeah.
My gosh, I'm so curious for your own health journey. Once you had this information, what happened?
So then it was just about figuring out why my body was out of balance. And it was in stages. The first stage, I got my mental health back in balance. I used a combination of, you know, getting my system out of stress. I used some herbals just to retrain my nervous system out of fight or flight response. And then the next phase that kicked in for me was the weight gain, because I'd always been underweight and suddenly I was gaining weight. And I went from when I met my husband, I was 114 pounds. I was way underweight. I was still really in the throes of that SIBO thing, not knowing what it was. Because at that point I had learned to eat to manage it. So the symptoms were low. I just still wasn't absorbing well. And then, then I went up to like, I think the heaviest I got was like 148. So that's a big jump on a body. And but the part about it is, I'm actually really, my body's really happy in the one or low 140s. So I'm not saying I don't want to be 114 again by any means. What started to happen was I'd literally like look at food and I'd go up in weight. Like I just kept gaining weight. So I started trying to figure out what was going on with that. I also was kind of waking up sort of just in that, like, I just had this overall sort of low mood. I just wanted to sit on the sofa all day long. And I found that I was under converting I was under converting my thyroid hormone T4 to T3. And that's a common thing I find in women. So when we got that figured out, that helped. But then I still was having some trouble with the weight thing. And what I figured out the next thing was I was just eating too many calories, because when I was under converting, I mean, not under converting, when I was under absorbing, I could eat and eat and eat and never gain. And all of a sudden, so when I started looking at calories, my morning smoothie had 700 calories in it, which that's a lot of calories in one meal. So, so I adjusted that, and then that kind of brought that back into place. So it's been a little bit of a piece. Basically, what I want women to hear is during this time, it's really about learning how to live in a balanced way, because anytime we go into a high stress state, it can throw us into what is what's called perimenopausal syndrome, when things are unbalanced. Right. And so it's not like, oh, I'm through it and I'm done. It's like anytime our body gets thrown off, we can cycle back in to an imbalance. And the problem is when the estrogen levels go too low. And by the way, your adrenals are also where testosterone and progesterone are made. So if you're a person who's had low testosterone, even when you're cycling, or low progesterone when you're cycling, that's a good sign that that adrenal system is stressed out. When we cycle into that and the hormone levels go low, that's a stress to its body in and of itself. And I used to really be anti-bioidentical hormone replacement. I don't think anybody should go on synthetic hormones, but bioidentical, until I was in it myself. And when you've got really low hormone levels and you've got a history of infections like I did with Lyme's disease, very often you can't take the tonics that you would use to balance yourself out. And keeping yourself in that low estrogen level is really hard on the body. So for some people, the majority of women don't need them, but for some people, that little bit can really get the ground under them, so their overall stress goes down and they can get out of the vicious cycle of stress creating low hormones creating stress, and you just end up in this vicious loop, right? So you keep asking me these simple questions, and I come up with these really long answers.
No, I think this is so essential for women to hear this. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, there's so much misinformation, number one. And, you know, one of the things I really want to speak to is the male physician who's saying to you, or like that you heard, you know, he's agreeing, like, yeah, like that speaker said, once you're menopausal, like it's over. And as you and I have talked about before, it's like life begins at 50.
And it does.
It can really be one of the most powerful, thriving times of your life. So can you speak to that piece a little bit?
Yeah. So I really believe that estradiol gives us certain superpowers. Estradiol is the hormones that dominate when you're in the fertility years. And everybody knows, come on, we're multitasker madness, like crazy. And we're always focusing on everybody else and taking care of everybody else before ourselves. Now, it can get out of balance, and that's not good. I always encourage women to take care of yourself, because that ultimately is how you take care of others. But we are hormonally driven to do that. And so if we don't recognize that, then we're just making what we're doing wrong instead of trying to bring it into balance. Why? Because our hormonal biological ladies, biology, that's just talking biology. Let's take out like anything, no, nothing political here, just biology. The female system is driven to find a mate, procreate, keep the offspring alive, right? That's biology. Mm-hmm. And so we have these superpowers that enhance that. We innately attract, right? We're supposed to attract a mate. Like we have that. And I speak to so many women who start going through the transition, and they notice gorgeous, beautiful women like yourself. They'll walk into a room and men won't be looking at them in the same way. And it's really disorienting because they haven't changed. But literally hormonally, we are shifting, and we're not having that same kind of a attractive thing, because we're not in the procreation role anymore. And it can be very disorienting for a woman. So I want to tell everybody, it's not that you've suddenly, whatever, it's that hormonally, this is really what's happening. It doesn't mean that you can't meet a partner and fall deeply in love. I fell madly in love at 45. I'm very happily married. So don't, you know, and I remember when I turned 45, I heard that thing in my head. It's easier to get hit by a train after 45 than get married or something like that. No, ladies, not, you know, anyway. But But what happens is our, so these hormonal shift, now we're estrone dominant, and estrone gives us new superpowers. And one of the things that I love is that we no longer are driven to take care of others. And so we get ourselves back, and now we get freedom of choice back in a way that we didn't necessarily have before. And we, I love to say that we get our sacred no back, because before, keeping everybody happy didn't always allow room for our preferences. And now we get to say, what do I want to do? And how do I want to spend my time? And how do I want to give back to this planet? A lot of women go through big career changes at this time. A lot of relationships get bumpy at this time because, you know, suddenly you're like, nope. And the person's like, what? You know, you've all, what? What's going on here? And sometimes if we're uncomfortable with that no, we can get a little cranky about it. Right. And so it's a really magical time for a woman where we get to step back and we get to exist for, not for us, from our center. We're not being driven to focus out anymore. So we're actually being driven, hormonally supported to go in. And then once we're in, to say, okay, what's my role to give back to ensure the survival of this, of the, you know, our tribe, the species, right? And so it's very, it's just a different, do you remember feeling that? I mean, for you, it was surgical, so it was abrupt, but do you remember feeling those shifts? Some women do, and some women don't notice it.
You know, and I think also, you know, it was really timely. It was around the time where my youngest daughter was also graduating from high school and then going into college.
My role
as a mama was shifting as well. Right. And so it was very fascinating to me in that it was that. I mean, like you, caregiver, I mean, my, you know, over 30 years in the mental health field and personal development field. So it's all been about giving.
Right.
And all of a sudden it was really, and it wasn't selfish. And I think that was such an important thing that you really differentiated that, because it is this going within in a different way and getting to know ourselves in a different way. And I truly felt like for the first time in my life, I befriended me, you know, and I was like, oh, it's what really makes me feel good and what really helps deepen, like for me, my spiritual walk. And then I was showing up differently in the world. And definitely along with that came a huge, for me, place of surrender to something bigger than me. Yes. And then through that, then comes all these gifts. And I think that's really it. When we realize, when we focus inward and we start for the first time, oftentimes the first time, really going like, okay, what is my voice? What is my preference? What is my passion about? And then we see that come out in the most beautiful way. So I think it's so essential, like we've been talking about, to take the time to do that. And when you notice, it's almost like an inner calling.
Yes, it is.
That's inviting us in. And then I feel like even the pandemic was a huge invitation from the universe to come within. And so if we didn't have that time, it's never too late.
Right.
It's never too late to start that adventure.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've been in private practice for a very long time. And one of the changes that's come out of for me is this, like, I have this, you know, I had my nice life, right? And all of a sudden it's like, I'm creating this platform and I'm doing what? I'm working more. And what are you creating? But it's like this inner drive, you know, to want to do this thing. And if you don't have that, that's fine. Like, it's okay if what you want to do is be a great grandma. That's totally great. There's nothing that says you have to be out there doing whatever. You can be volunteering at the hospital or a daycare or an elderly or whatever it is. One of the things that struck me so deeply was when I was learning about the green zones. And I was watching this documentary on Okinawa, and they were saying the things that they think contribute to why these people in Okinawa live so long. And one of the things that they said was that they continue to have purpose. But their purpose, in most cases, were things like they would fish for their family one day a week, or they would, you know, they would take care of their grandchildren, or they weren't like these, oh my God, I have to go change the world. There's no value on it, judgment on it. It's not like somebody sitting up there going, oh, you did more and no, there's no value judgment on it. It's really just embodying our fullness and offering back in the fullest way that we are inspired to offer back. And so that's being an awesome grandma. That's doing that fully, or if that's, but it's kind of moving. It's this funny thing. Tell me if you feel this way, Stephanie. I feel like in the younger years, we do a lot of what I call navel gazing, where we're looking within and trying to find out, fix ourselves and feel comfortable and this, that. And this time can be much more about going within, not to fix ourselves, to actually move into full acceptance of ourselves.
Beautifully said.
Right? So that then when we offer out, it comes from that fullness of self-acceptance, self-love, self-care, right? But it's, a lot of women have to be given permission because they don't know that they're allowed to do this, and this is okay. And this is what you're supposed to be doing now. And really knowing, I've met women in their 70s. So the other thing about this time that I think it's really important that women hear is that I don't believe the change stops when you stop bleeding. I don't believe that. I think the transition is something more overarching. And so for me, the perimenopausal change, you're through it when you have embodied this new role that I call the wise woman. Some people call her the queen, but this new role. And I've met, 73-year-old women who are still, doing this. And so it's not about an age thing. It's really about stepping in and getting to, like you said, getting to know yourself and learning to love yourself in a whole new way. And then moving from that place.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that it's interesting because I have clients too, that are in their 60s and early 70s. And sometimes it's still the struggle. Like I still have not ever found my voice. I have still not ever done that next step, which is like, oh, it really is okay for me to think about what's my passion.
Yes, it is. And not only okay, you're being hormonally driven to do it. And so when you're not, your hormones are going, come on.
It's your time.
This is it.
And I think, how exciting. Think about, Kari, for you too, if you were a young woman, rewind all the way back to that 17-year-old, if she knew that like, wow, when I'm, in my mid 40s and on, I'm going to be lit up on fire and in relationship with myself in the best way of my life, how would that have changed things for you?
Right. Yeah. Well, and the truth is that is one of my passions, is that little girls know about these three phases. And it's just like they know about the fertility years. They know that there's a phase after the fertility years that is awesome. I had this inner knowing, Stephanie, and maybe this is the precursor to what I'm doing now. I used to say my life was going to start at 50. I had no idea why I would say that, but now I understand, some part of my psyche knew that this was the time of life where I was really going to get to just like, whew, sail through. In my, in my fertility years, I wasn't well. And I was in the, am I going to have children? Not, that whole thing. And I left a relationship at 42 because I thought I wanted children. And then, that by 44, that turned off. And that's something important for women to hear hormonally. This is all happening for you, not to you. So when the body no longer is going to be procreating, those hormones can shift and you can actually, your desire for a child can change. And so it's a very gracious, loving thing. At 44, it just turned off. I was just like, oh, cool. I wasn't expecting that at all. Right. And when I met my husband at 45, he had two kids and I was like, oh, wait a second. I was going to be done, not have kids, but then, of course that's been its own beautiful journey. So you're not just going to spend the rest of your life, mourning. If you didn't have children, mourning that, you actually will step in and go like, oh, wow, this is really amazing. Look at all the gifts of what can happen now without children. And for those mommies that are, you were lucky, yours happened right when your daughter was leaving, right? But for those mommies that are having babies later and they're 47 and they're in the middle of the change and they got a 7-year-old at home, those hormones start to shift, you will start to shift in how you feel about parenting. And don't judge yourself. You're not, there's nothing wrong. Just be compassionate with yourself. And when you're like, oh, I don't want to make lunch anymore.
Of course you don't.
And that, you know, start teaching your kid to help you make lunch. But it's a really, one of my dear friends says what she did was she used it as a way to educate her son and empower him to really step in and realize that mommy needs mommy time too.
Perfect. Right?
And mommy needs to take care of mom herself. And so she has this really emotionally literate young man who's now 9, who's all about that, right? So you just have to be aware of what's happening so that you can educate the people around you about what's happening so they don't start feeling like you don't love them or, you know, what, you know, what's going on? Mom's going crazy. I have to tell you, I have had women bring in I work now virtually pre-pandemic, though I had an office, and I had women come in and they bring in their 16-year-old daughters to get fixed. And I'm watching the dynamic and I'm like, oh no, mommy, this is you. We need to get you balanced out. Your daughter's actually doing okay.
So, you know, such essential information, Kari. I love this. And the thing about when we're, I think one of the essential things that you just said that I just want to reemphasize is the importance for women in really being able to decide for themselves mm-hmm. what's right. And definitely with the whole childbearing issue, I feel like a majority of my closest friends never had children. Mm-hmm. And I have 2 beautiful daughters. So I think it's, and there's not a right or wrong and there's no judgment there. And really that essential piece to know that it's okay. Yeah,
it is. It really is. Okay. Look, at our planet has plenty of humans on it. And if we decide that we don't want to contribute to more humans, that's okay. And if we decide we want to contribute to more humans, beautiful, right? I think there's something almost bigger than us at work with all of this and trusting that, you know, it's really okay. And if you think you want children and then you don't end up having them, trust that too, because there might be something else that's going to come through, right? Some other way of birth, something else you'll birth or mother, or, you know, I just really think that there's a divine, intelligence to all of it. I'm not necessarily saying it's being directed, but it's just a divine intelligence. And certainly mourn, you know, it's okay to mourn. If we're sad about the transition, that's okay. Mourn it, right? And then welcome so that you can open the door to what's next. When we try to suppress it, then that just stays under there. You know, I've had many women I've worked with who really mourned it. That's okay. I let them mourn it. And then they got to the other side and they're like, you know what? This is amazing. And I'm like, I know. I remember that conversation we had where I said, don't worry, it's gonna get good. Right? You know, and sometimes that's because someone thought they wanted to have a baby and it didn't happen for them. And so they're mourning the loss of that. And that's all part of it. That's all normal and, you know, healthy and beautiful. Just really love on the part of yourself that's sad about it, whatever it is, you know, and then just know that there is something else coming. And if it's bumpy and you're not feeling good and you feel like, I call it the cray craze, the crazy crazies, cray craze. If you're going in the cray craze, just know that you don't have to be there. That's not what the experience is about. There are some, you know, getting used to like that multitasking mind that shifts for many women. Some women keep it, but many women that shifts, that can be disorienting, right? So there are some changes. It can be disorienting if your whole sense of self is gathered around focusing on others. And then suddenly you're kind of like, I don't really want to do it anymore. And that can be disorienting too. So there is a change, just like when you go from child to bleeding, there's a change and that can be disorienting, right? But if you're like, you know, hot flashing and night sweating and you're cranky and you've got anxiety and you've got depression and you got, you know, all of this, your skin feels like it's falling off, you know, all of that, and your hair is falling out, that's imbalance. And mm-hmm. that can be supported. And hormones are not the only answer. There's a lot of other answers. Like I said, the majority of women I work with, we don't use hormones. I don't recommend hormones, but there are some that they help. So
yeah. Well, and so let's talk about that just for a moment.
Okay.
Just again, to give people hope.
Yeah.
That, you know, people that don't want to use hormones, what do you find are some of the really effective ways as people are going through the change to manage it?
Yeah. So what, so there's two factors set here. If it's just, you know, the hormones are lower and because the body's getting used to making them from the fat instead of from the ovaries and it's just a little off, then things like, you know, black cohosh or dongguei or, you know, soy isoflavonoids and things like that can really help. You know, if it's progesterone that's out of balance, then, you know, chaste tree can help. But if you've tried those or you know, or it feels like that's just not going to do it, then what has to be done is we have to identify the stressor that's on your body that is throwing it off. And very often what I find are latent immune challenges, even from childhood, I've found in women that are throwing their system off. So latent immune challenge, digestive troubles, causing toxin overload, which is overloading the liver and stressing out the adrenals. So you're really looking for that underlying factor that is stressing the body out. It might be the way in which we're reacting to our environment that's keeping the body in a chronic state of stress. It might be a combination of all of it. It might be a food we're eating that our body is reacting to. And so we have to do a, you know, an assessment of, like I said, it might be, you know, the thyroid might be off. So we have thyroid, we have adrenals, we have sex hormones, and then we have our digestive tract, we have our liver. Got to assess all those things, and you have to see what's out of balance. And then you want to get those things back in balance. And that's really how you get a body out of perimenopausal syndrome and back into balance. And so it's not a time for women to be doing drastic anythings. So like I got thrown into it doing a drastic cleanse, right? I really go moderation here, ladies. Drastic fasts. It's just not a time. The whole intermittent fasting is just not supportive of a woman during this time because it's spiking cortisol levels. And if your adrenals are busy managing your blood sugar, then the body isn't making androstenedione and it's throwing everything off, right? So that's really the secret to it, is to figure out, and sometimes you can do that on your own, but sometimes you need support if you're really out of balance. And but it's totally possible to do. Totally possible to do using all natural substances and, you know, lifestyle and dietary alterations and emotional work and things like that to really help get the body out of stress.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to ask you, we're getting closer to almost the end of time. I can't believe it's gone so fast.
I know, so fast.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is, now, you know, in your 50s, what are you looking forward to? Kind of like, what's lighting Kari Schaefer up right now?
Well, one of the things that's lighting me up is definitely getting this message out to women. My vision is that, like you said, that little girls know about the three phases, that it's a general understanding in our culture that women have these three phases and that each phase is significant, each phase is important, and each phase has a purpose. It's not that, like, you know, you kind of go off into the abyss after you stop, you know, having your menses. No, there's these three amazing phases for women. And so that's really what's lighting me up right now. And then I really am also continuing to look for this, I really love still space. And so creating a life that has room for lots of still space. So we before we got on, we talked about my birthday, which I spent alone in a hot springs right next to the geyser that was feeding the hot springs in a field in quiet, watching the raindrops, right? So really orchestrating that. Why? Because that fills me up. So I have more to give back. And then another passion of mine too is, you know, this planet is such a beautiful planet and a lot of things are changing. I would really love to get to explore more of its natural beauties. And ultimately, I think it'd be really fun to start to take women, you know, on those journeys, some retreats where we, you know, do that. You have a retreat coming up, right?
Well, let's talk about that really quickly, because this is so exciting. I get the awesome pleasure and privilege of having Kari Schaefer come join me this June 24th through 26th in Estes Park, Colorado at the Becoming Fierce Women's Empowerment event. So excited. Do you want to, should we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It sounds like so much fun. Yeah. So tell me your vision. I love hearing you talk about it, because this came out of your inspiration. So,
you know, Kari, it's so awesome to have you be a part of this, because it really was, we are in this time, just like you said, where we need, you know, the feminine rising. And that's not rising in an aggressive way. It's not rising in any opposing way. It's literally rising to empowerment within ourselves so that we can better share that with the world. And so Becoming Fierce actually comes out of a book that I have coming out at the same time.
Very
Becoming
exciting.
Fierce, Creating a Bold and Beautiful Life. Mm-hmm. And so I just have been, this has been just this churning inspiration for me for over a year. And how we can bring women together for this intimate retreat. We only have 26 slots available for registration,
right?
But it's yourself, me, Natalie Ledwell, and Pauline Nguyen, who Huffington Post said is the most spiritual entrepreneur on the planet.
Wow.
We have the beautiful Misa Hopkins, Sabina Capanelli, and Cynthia James. All of these people are thought leaders and wisdom keepers, just very powerful women coming together for an immersive event where women are going to really feel not only, I mean, number one, seen and heard, because they are going to be in close proximity with us. It's also a time to really reignite that passion, no matter what age you're at. You know, if you're 30, I have one gal coming who's 24 years old, who's just graduating from the university. And she's like, this is perfect for me, igniting the next phase of my life so that I can find out, you know, what is it that makes me thrilled and tick and, you know, inspires me. And so there's going to be plenty of that available as we're doing these awesome sessions. Talk a little bit about what your session's going to be about.
Well, before I do that, I just want to say something, because it really struck me. So I don't know if anybody else felt this way, but the morning I woke up and I heard that Putin had invaded Ukraine, there was something deep inside me that said, really? We're still doing this? This patriarchal, I don't like what's going on, so I'm going to go over and attack you energy. And it's really time, Stephanie, for women to learn to stand up in their ferocity, not in their aggression, but in their, like, stand for their truth, stand for what they know to be right, and say, no, this is that no, no more. And so we don't have role models, because we're just coming out of these hundreds of years, or probably thousands of years of, you know, rule dominated by that masculine energy. Whether it was women running in the show or not, it was dominated by that masculine energy, that sort of conquer and divide energy. And so really coming together so women can be empowered to stand up in what they know to be true and say, yes, there is a rightness to my inner voice that says, no, there's another way. And to really be in this dialogue about what is the other way, right? Because we don't have role models. We are all creating this, and going and being like cranky, you know, women who are like angry, cranky women is not the role that any of us want to play, right? So what does it mean to be fierce and empowered and on purpose? And that's really what I'm going to be talking about, you know, this whole menopausal thing with power and purpose, right? What does it mean to really walk that way in a feminine way, right?
Yeah. And boy, isn't that the essence right there? We don't have to drop our femininity.
No. You know,
I mean, I think this is the beautiful, and it's embracing the masculine and feminine energies within us.
Exactly.
You know, 100%. And we are all women, you know, we have relationships with men. We love men.
Yes.
It's nothing about that. Yeah. But it's literally about a time to tune within, to find that inner spark, to find that inner voice.
Yes.
And you're exactly right, Kari. Wow. I mean, you really were just speaking to my soul, where it's time for us. We need the role models. And this is a chance for people to come to this. And I love the saying that then they become the pebble in the pond.
Yes.
So the concentric circles, you know, each woman there is going to be infused with this purpose, you know, deep well of well-being and personal power. And then they bring that out to everyone around them. You know, you truly are sharing it then with the world. It's just these concentric circles.
We were at yesterday, we were hiking and we were at this pond, this really magical spot we found, came up upon, and I threw a rock in, and the pond was reflecting on the rock wall and the ripples went out and you saw this on the wall. But the thing that surprised me was then the ripples came back.
Beautiful.
So what we put out goes out, bounces off the world and then comes back. Right. And so it's learning how to be that, literally what they say, be what we want to see, you know, be what we want to see in the world, because literally we put it out, it bounces off the world and then it comes back. And that's where we get the experience of the life that we want. Yeah. So when we talk about the patriarch and all that, it's not men bashing at all. It's not, That's not what we're talking about at all, because each of us inside have a male and a female aspect. Men do too. It's really bringing that into balance and learning what does it mean to walk in the world from that balance, right? And when do we pull on the one energy and when do we pull on the other energy, and just really exploring this whole, what does this all mean? Because we are in the forefront, right? This is very exciting.
So exciting. So as we're wrapping up right now, Kari, I want to get, first of all, tell people they can register for this amazing event.
Yes.
You can go to stephaniejames.world/becomingfierce. And there's lots of information. We're staying in an absolutely gorgeous retreat center. Wow. These amazing cabins that are, they're little homes. They are 1,200 square foot little homes.
For
it'll be just amazing. And with medicine wheel and fire ceremony and shamanic activations.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Just
I'm so excited. That's my highlight.
Well, and where do we get a hold of you if people want to find out?
What they want to do and find out more about what I'm up to is just, if they're on Facebook, they can go to Facebook and they can go to Menopause Wise Woman Emerging and join the group. You know, there's conversation there, there's videos in there they can watch about this. And if they're not a Facebook person, they don't want to do that, they can go to my website and www.kariforhealth.com. And in there, they can click on the link and there's a place they can put their information in. They can get a free gift if they want. And that way they can hear about what we're up to and all of that sort of stuff. So those are the ways that they can find me.
Perfect. Yeah. So perfect. And Kari, what is the essential message as we're signing off right now that you want to leave with the listeners?
I want women who are hitting that age 40 time and all people to know that there's a transition coming, or you're in a transition, and that transition is, it's divinely planned, it's right, it's as it should be, and it has great gifts to offer you. And if in between you get a bit bumped, things get a bit bumpy, it doesn't have to be that way. There's a lot that can be done to help you smooth those transition out, and just really understand that this is happening for you, not happening to you. Yeah. And like I said, if it's bumpy, you just might need some support to get you through that bumpiness. But this is a really good thing. This is a really good thing.
Yeah. And thank God there are people like you out there, Kari. I'm so thankful for the information that you've shared here today and what you're sharing with women all over the world. Just truly grateful for you. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Ditto.
Can't wait to see you in June.
I know. Thanks so much for having me, Stephanie.
Okay. And thank all of you for being here with us on The Spark, igniting your best life.